back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Sandy Williams is here. Sandy, again, Robert Cremo, a young man that, man, should have never had access to guns. And you sometimes wonder if his family... I mean, I have a son who's bipolar and schizophrenic. I've said it over and over and over again. And if I found out my son had access to guns, I would be the first one there saying, what are you doing with a gun? Right? I mean, I know who my son is. I know his challenges mentally. Why would I sit silently and know that he has a gun? I would know that he's not healthy. And so when people know that they have loved ones that aren't healthy.
Yeah, again, though, when we have 400 million guns, and you can't count on everyone to do the right thing. Parents, really, the genie's out of the bottle. That's what depresses me about the situation currently is that I don't see the healing trend in almost any of our societal problems, this gun problem. We could pass restrictive laws about guns going forward, but with 400 million guns and 20 million assault rifles out there, the genie's out of the bottle, and we're now dependent on human nature and how human nature will deal with all those guns. And human nature is what it is. We can say that do we have a bigger problem with human nature in the United States than the rest of the world? No, we have a bigger problem with the number of guns that human nature can access.
I was just about to say, you travel the world, you just came back from Israel. Were there a lot of concealed carry and open carry people walking around?
The only open carry I saw was the military, who would be going from home to their base carrying their M16s with them, and the checkpoints and places where active military was going on. Israel's a place with potential problems.
Right.
And so there are armaments present, but there aren't people carrying guns in their pockets, I'll tell you. And if they were, they'd be dealt with.
So that's why, to me, the citizens, and it doesn't mean that the citizens in Israel don't disagree with one another, that everybody's on the same accord, and there's not some things that make people angry.
Oh.
But they forbid their citizenry to do that because they know what the outcome of that can be, right?
Well, I think everyone in the world understands that human nature, being what it is, people will flare up. There's such a thing as road rage,
right?
And versions of road rage. And road rage between two people who are unarmed is one thing. Road rage between people who have weapons is another. And that's human nature, okay? What's the difference between the two? Well, human nature isn't different. The presence of guns is different. And, de Tocqueville, this is what he was talking about when he was talking about individualism and how it is that he thought it might be both a strength and a weakness for America, because we wouldn't have a sense of community, that our individualism could cause us to not have a sense of responsibility to the group welfare. That's part of this whole gun thing. Guns are all about individualism, protecting yourself, defending yourself, right? It's not about defending your community.
So the guy you are talking about, in 1830, saw that individualism. So that's inherent in the American people. I mean, we came from all over.
Well, I think we did come, but we came. What kind of people came to America? People who were willing to pick up and go and leave their their families.
Some would say, Sandy, though, that the people who were making it in Europe didn't come to America.
Well, that's right. I mean, in fact, in many respects, people who came to America were on the run. That we had criminals, adventure seekers, people who were fleeing some situation that they found undesirable, people who were looking for independence and freedom.
Right. That's just the truth.
Those are the people who came to America. Well, that creates a profile.
Right.
And they came to America because it was a big, wide-open country where they could have a house of their own, distant from other houses. They could have their 40 acres.
Right.
They could have their quarter section. So, you know, we had a hearty lot of independent sorts. They were the type who were here in 1830, and they're probably the type that are, have been the progeny of those ancestors. So, yeah, it's part of our character. But we ought to recognize human nature, and that's the part that, that goes out the door in our discussion of guns. It's what goes out the door in our discussion of the community values.
All right, got to go to a break. Oh, to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line?
We got Ron from Milwaukee.
Hey, Ron, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Hey, another problem, underlying problem, and I think maybe DePocqueville might have gotten a piece of this, is, you know, the expansion of the United States or the colonies westward originally, and the way it worked and the way it happened, created all sorts of property issues in this country, and we still have property issues, and people have an overriding fetish about property, and it's my property and it's not your property, and I'm going to take your property if my use for it is more important than your use, and that's actually been codified into our laws, and I you know, it really bugs me, you know, and of course grabbing land from Native Americans and grabbing land from Black people who were freed after the Civil War, just grabbing their land. It just goes on and on. People are still, you know, eminent domain today. Some of that is a good thing, but we just seem to have this whole thing about this is mine and it's not yours. And then that evolves, and I would say this is what underlies modern Republican politics, into this notion that what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. You know, because I'm the guy who's important. My group, my tribe is what is important, and you're not important. And it's exactly contrary to this idea of community.
Sandy, you understand?
Well, I do think tribalism is the antithesis of community. And tribalism is a nice way of talking about racism, in fact. And I think we have to get to the heart of it and say that much of tribalism has to do with color, people of color. And I think that's at the heart of a great deal of our political problems. It's hard to have a sense of community. People in the Milwaukee metropolitan area don't embrace the problems of the city of Milwaukee. Why not? You know, we should ask ourselves that. Why is the city of Milwaukee not viewed by those who are in the broader community of Milwaukee? Why are they not embracing and attempting as a group to resolve the problems of their community? It's because they choose to be isolated from it. They chose to be isolated when they set up municipal boundaries. They chose to be isolated from it when they moved to those municipalities from the city. And so, you know, we have a problem in the United States that has to do with community and commitment to community. People want to choose the community that they'll be committed to. It's pretty easy to be committed to Christ Episcopal Church in Whitefish Bay.
Man, hey, Ron, thank you very much for the call. I agree with you totally. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams in the studio. We'll be right back.
And then you act real rude to me. But oh, baby, 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 when you love me, I can't get enough. And I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me. Till you use me up. Until you.